This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Medford, 91.5 FM. It is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Hear It Wow. Did you hear Hear It Wow? I got all these things bouncing around in my head right now. It is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Hear It Wow. Derek Gary, Daniela Capolino, Molly Gary, and occasional Big Picture co-host Marielle Cabral.
Hello.
Now in the studio. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
It is the night before Thanksgiving, so...
Oh, I thought you made a mistake the first time I heard you say that. I thought, oh, you meant to say Thanksgiving Eve, but now I get what you're saying, like Halloween.
It's like Halloween. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Yes. Thanksgiving Eve.
The first time I heard it, I was like, what?
We're contracting it Coventry style.
Oh.
For added festive effect. It is the night once a year when we gather around the microphones and tell rousing stories of Thanksgiving's past and question what's going on in Thanksgiving present.
Question Derek's gravy-making ability.
I get razzed for my inability to make gravy. Yes, it happens every year like clockwork.
Sorry. New nickname for Derek, Lumpy Gravy.
Yeah, you don't get any gravy. That's what's going to happen now.
I'll just use the stuff that your sister bought.
You could do a taste test. You could sort of blind taste test.
I was warned, by the way, Dr. Sarah Barcia, who I was hoping would be with us tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But she's working. She's coming over for Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Oh, with Freddie.
With her dog.
Oh, great. Of course, yeah. Good.
I was warned that she's going to fight me for the stuffing.
And I told her I'm going to fight you for the stuffing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have some Thanksgiving purists out there who would say, it's only stuffing if it's in the bird.
Which he does.
Yes. The stuffing goes in the bird.
So I was going to ask.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, do you make some extra on the side?
You do, don't you?
I think this year I'm going to have to because I've been put on alert. You know, must be enough stuffing or things are going to get ugly.
I heard that. Yes. I heard the warning.
Because
there's only so much room in a turkey.
In the bird.
That's one of the things.
And I feel like that would be enough for just me.
You know what's, you know what's one of the things that you can do, which I may try this year because I've seen it done before. I think my mom did it once or twice when I was growing up.
You're going to cook it on the outside?
You make that mound of stuffing on top of on top of the drumsticks instead of sewing the cavity shut.
I got you.
And that way you get a little bit more. The problem is you get that really dry, hard stuff on the outer edge of it.
I like that.
All right.
Give me some
of that.
Go.
You can have that.
That's like me.
It gets crunchy and that
was like when people in my family would make lasagna. Nobody wanted to eat the pieces in the corner because of the crunchy. And I was like,
Are you crazy?
That's the best part of a lasagna is the crunchy part.
Now this question,
I'll have that.
This question gets asked every year, Mario. What kind of food have you got for Thanksgiving? What are you chewing into?
So I actually really dislike Thanksgiving in general.
Come on,
I know people look at me and they're like, she's a fat bosomy lady. She must like to make her own holiday cards and turkey and all that, but I don't. What we're doing, I think this is the fourth year we've done it, is something we like to call White Trash Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Which is where my husband and I and my in-laws, and this year my father, we're going to drive up to Saugus.
Are you going to Calhoun?
We're going to Calhoun.
Yes.
There you go.
That is totally approved. Absolutely.
White Trash Thanksgiving.
Good for you.
So amazing. With all the other Saugies.
Kowloon is amazing, so I don't blame you for going there.
The first year we did it, we saw this man wearing American flag pajama pants.
Oh.
And I was like, I've found my disgusting
my place.
People.
The full rich tapestry of the human experience is available to see at Kowloon.
True.
Oh, absolutely.
Kowloon is a magnet for not just people who like Chinese food and well-to-do families in the area, but everyone in the area.
Yes, yeah. I will say that if you have ever been on the Kowloon website, it touts that it is the world's largest Asian-themed restaurant.
Yes.
So not the largest Asian restaurant. Right. Probably there are restaurants in Asia that are bigger, but it's an Asian-themed restaurant. It's just, so wonderful.
Do they serve turkey? Add turkey in?
I think you can, but we usually go for the Chinese food.
You get the Saugus wings.
There you go.
Saugus wings. Yeah. My mother-in-law is very partial to Saugus wings.
Nice.
Do you have to do a reservation?
No, I mean, maybe if you have like a party that's super big, but for the five of us, they sit you in the boat. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. What happens on the boat? Is it like a, do they have like fake pilgrims?
No, nothing like that. They don't decorate. It's already decorated. Yeah. It's beautiful decor.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, Polynesian or something, whatever it is. It's just the perfect amount of white trashness.
Yeah. Perfect.
There's no stress because nobody screwed up the turkey. Nobody's yelling at each other except for maybe the other people, and it's great.
Yeah, there's somebody yelling at somebody three tables
over,
and that's part of the fun.
It's so great.
So you get a good meal, and you get free entertainment.
But I do like some Thanksgiving food. It's not the food I'm opposed to. It's the stress and the tension and the family.
Yes.
That's a good point. That's a very valid thing, for sure. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm staring at my
wife.
Derek's looking at me right now. I'm with you on that family thing. Yeah. Absolutely with you. So the Capolino house, I'm assuming there's sausage somewhere.
There is sausage somewhere.
Yeah.
We have kind of abandoned the turkey thing because several years ago we have a very small family. It's just four of us basically. And now it's down to three of us.
Mm.
And we kind of had an epiphany where we don't like turkey. So why are we eating turkey every year? Because it's gross.
I love turkey.
So we stopped doing turkeys and we started doing capon instead.
What is that?
That is a castrated rooster.
Oh, you guys are fancy.
It's basically because a chicken only will grow, like a hen will only grow so big, and you need a bigger bird.
Sure.
So you jump up to the rooster and then he grows bigger.
Yeah.
And
so they grow bigger after getting castrated?
They get fat.
They get fat. They don't, basically.
Oh, okay.
But you can
get
like a 15, I don't know, 12, 15, whatever the heck they can get.
Bigger isn't
fatter. It's like a small end turkey.
Oh.
But it tastes just like chicken.
Do you have to go to a fancy butcher for that?
Well, yeah, because Whole Foods won't carry it because they can't find a purveyor that they're happy with or something.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Because there's
we want cruelty free capon.
Manual like PETA and all that.
Because there's manual castration and there's chemical castration, which I just learned about because I had tweeted 2 years ago. I tweeted about having capon on Thanksgiving, and I get a message from this reporter from the Wall Street Journal, who's stationed in Hong Kong and writes about financial stuff. And I'm like, why is she tweeting to me? She's like, can you DM me? I have some questions for you. And I'm like, okay. And as it turns out, she's writing like a fluff piece for Thanksgiving about people who have capon instead of Thanksgiving turkey. Oh. So I did. She interviewed me the other day on the telephone. And that'll be in the Wall Street Journal. But anyway, it's become increasingly harder to find capon. We were buying it from a farm in Needham. It was a poultry farm that has now been closed, shut down. And they're putting an elementary school in. So this year...
Oh, come on.
So it wasn't shut down
because of that. Just people in the family
castration.
Were getting older and the kids didn't want to take it over.
They didn't want to deal with it.
They didn't want to deal with it. And unfortunately, R.I.P. Owens, who had the best chickens and capons and duck and all that. And the prices were amazing and they were great. But now they're gone. So we're having a pork roast.
Mm.
And my mom's doing a cornbread cranberry sausage, Italian sausage.
That sounds so good.
Stuffing.
So good.
Yeah. And then there's going to be twice baked potato. I think my aunt's doing like a baked apple dish. And then for dessert, we just kind of went easy. I'm making a spice cake. And we're just going to do like ice cream because there's only three of us. You know?
This is one of the things. You go to an Italian Thanksgiving and there's going to be sausage somewhere. and it's usually, okay, where do they hide the sausage?
Yeah.
And it's usually in the stuffing.
And it's great. I think it's a, I want to say it's an Anne Burrell, foundation, but then it's gone off and my mom, does her thing.
Traditionally, If you go way, way back to the beginning of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. it was oyster stuffing that they used.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what was readily available.
Those were the days when you could walk down the beach and just fill your pockets with oysters.
Listen, I walked down the beach last Sunday and filled my pockets with oysters.
Which beach? Because I want to go.
I went on Cape Cod. You just need to buy a license. I go with my father all the time.
Yeah, you get a license at the local town hall.
And
license. I can run faster than they can.
I'm old school Italian, baby. I dig those clams. So we go oystering and we walked onto the beach. And this is, I don't know, maybe the earliest that we've been in the season. It starts November 1st. And it ends April 30th. Mm. There were thousands of oysters on this beach to the point where, like, they weren't fully grown yet, but a lot of them were growing in clusters. Like, you couldn't walk without stepping on them. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Wow.
But I came home with about 52 oysters.
Nice.
Which I proceeded to eat over the last... I have 8 left to getting killed tonight.
Nice. Oh, that's good. That's good.
I don't know. Italian Thanksgivings, though... They know how to do it.
You better be prepared to eat.
Listen, well, I think it's any holiday that involves food, I would say.
There's two things about the Italian Thanksgiving. Number one, I know people love the sausage and the stuffing.
Have you ever been to one?
But I'm like, yes. But I'm like, you're putting meat into something else that's meat. You know, the turkey is meat. I don't need more. I'm good on the meat.
We don't stuff it in the bird. That's why.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I thought it was funny that we're having double pork tomorrow. We're having a pork roast a pork sausage stuffing.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, as if I didn't get enough carbs from the turkey and gravy, here's plates of pasta coming your way. You know, and it's like.
See, I wish I had memories of the early Thanksgivings that we would have when it was like the whole Italian side of the family and like my dad's side and all that sort of stuff. Because I think that's where more of the Italian stuff might have
appeared. Well, my mother-in-law, when we would do Thanksgiving, she would always make a bird and all this stuff. Yeah. But she would also make a lasagna.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
it makes sense in terms of the, usually like Italian, it's going to be a large group of people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more about what can I make that's going to feed enough people sort of thing versus...
There was one year where one of my best friends from college, Michael, he's actually the guy who married Derek and I, one year I stayed around school for Thanksgiving. It was actually the year that I went to the Macy's Parade.
Yep.
So I had Thanksgiving with his family, big Italian family, and they had the lasagna, they had the manicotti, they had the stuffed shells, they had everything. And then the turkey the stuffing. Yeah. And it was like, I told Michael, it felt like I gained like 25 pounds. And I understood why, like, Michael's father and his brother and his uncles, like, all passed out after eating. They were all, like, on the couches, just, like, in a coma, literally in a food coma. But it was awesome, though.
Yeah. I don't know how you're
It was so much food, but I loved it.
I don't know how you're getting through Thanksgiving without, you know, doses of insulin and a defibrillator in an Italian household.
You got to kind of pace yourself. Mm. Yeah. You kind of have to understand it's more a marathon than a race.
Well, now with Michael...
Well, although, like, it depends on how, like, if there's a lot more people than quantity of food, then it might be a race because you got to get in there before it's all gone. Sure. But
maybe that's why Michael married a woman who at one point was a cardiac care nurse.
Yeah, that's
true. So, but she's now a vet now, but she still does keep, just because she keeps her nursing license active.
She shows up just the holidays because, with a doctor's bag.
You know, so it's like, I mean, the family isn't as big, you know, as it was, but it's like, hey, Gina's a former cardiac care nurse.
She's a family favorite. It's like, we got a heart doctor.
I just had a vision of somebody eating so much they pass out, and then her doing like the Pulp Fiction thing where you stab somebody in the heart with a needle to get him to come back to life.
Yeah, well, a couple cardiac punches, and you're good to go. So I mentioned this off the top of the show. We have an alert for Thanksgiving, and those of you who are not eating turkey don't need to worry about this.
Sweet.
But for those of you that
are.
Police in Maine, do not eat the dumpster turkeys.
Ew, why would you do that anyway?
Do not eat the dumpster turkeys. Here's what happened up there in up there in Falmouth, Maine.
That's where my sister used to live. No joke.
They had a freezer go out at a Hannaford, and so the Hannaford people took a bunch of turkeys and put them in the dumpster because they were starting to thaw. Right.
Oh no!
Along comes local resident with his pickup truck, which he proceeds to fill with said turkeys, and then posts it on Facebook and says, hey, anybody who wants one,
wow,
come get
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
that's literally, Falmouth is right outside Portland. That my sister right. lived there for a couple of years.
A turkey warning, yes for real, police wrote on Facebook. Quote, someone has actually removed these turkeys from the dumpster and thought it would be a great idea to redistribute them.
No, it's not a good idea.
It's a very bad idea. These turkeys were discarded because they were a hazard to consume. If anyone had acquired a bird from some non-conventional manner from someone you don't know, discard and replace it.
That's like the warning at the airport. Did you pack your own bags?
Yes.
Where'd you eat your turkey?
That's right.
Don't eat the dumpster turkeys.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that they would have just put them in the dumpster with in the packaging, because I hear so many stories about places putting food that's actually still edible and still viable, and then they cover it in like
garbage
and gasoline or whatever the heck they put on it, so that it's like non-edible.
It's terrible.
So you don't have somebody coming by and being like, they're throwing out perfectly good turkeys. No,
I thought
not.
I knew people were cheap, but
do not eat the dumpster
turkey. I'm cheap, but I'm not eating anything.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Please do not eat the dumpster
turkey.
You go
dumpster diving, but not
I don't
like
actually
that.
Go real, I'm not no, real I dumpster know. Diving. I go no, fake I dumpster diving. Yeah. But I do that. I go Harvard University. At the end of the school year, the stuff that these kids throw out.
TVs.
Hello, that's where I go. I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now. It says Harvard Yearbook Publications on it.
It's a very nice sweatshirt for those of you who can't see.
There is an angry crowd of tough students with torches and pitchforks.
I didn't even realize it when I put it on. I got here and I was like, oh, wait.
Who let the Crimson Girl in?
Yeah, they don't really have a rivalry, do they, though, between Tufts and Harvard?
I don't think
Tufts
so.
Tufts might think they do.
It's Harvard Yale is the big.
Tufts, that's the big one. Yeah.
Tufts has better things to do with its time.
Do they? Good.
Than worry
good.
About that.
Yeah.
Good.
Be on break.
So I've been reading about Thanksgiving because it's coming, you know, it's tomorrow. It's a holiday that I love.
Yeah.
The last pure holiday, I think, left on the calendar, because unless you're doing something wacky like Mary Ellen going to the Chinese place or Daniela and making pork. No. But the thing about Thanksgiving is there's no rules. You know, it's like you don't have to have a tree. Right. You don't have to put lights up in front of your house so that your neighbors don't think you're cheap.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a lot of stupid stuff for Thanksgiving. It's whatever you want it to be. The Thanksgiving as we know it was actually popularized by a woman from New England who was an abolitionist and an editor of a popular magazine back in the day.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book where she described a classic New England Thanksgiving from her childhood. And over the years that she was working on this magazine, every single year she'd be like, here's what Thanksgiving should be. Here's what you should do. You make a turkey and you make all these pies and you do all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea just sort of sunk into the American consciousness. But it was very much a New England thing.
Yes.
Oh.
And because it was a New England thing, there were parts of the country, the South, that did not care for
they
it.
They didn't want any Yankee whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't want them damn Yankees coming down and changing their way of life.
Sure.
But they liked the pies. That was the thing that went over the South.
Pecan pies are huge in the South. Peach pies, that sort of thing.
Yeah. They liked the pies. And because they liked the pies, the women got on board with it.
Gotcha.
The men were like, no, none of this Yankee
nonsense.
Isn't
that how it always works? They get the women on. I mean, that's why the Beatles, you know, they got the ladies and then all the guys, you know.
So that's where the food side of it comes from. The actual holiday side of it is pretty much imaginary and made up. We all know that the pilgrims sat down with the Wampanoags after their first harvest and had a festival to celebrate the end of cannibalism. Because I have to believe that the pilgrims ate some of those people that first winter.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
If you say so.
I'm sure.
I mean, I don't know.
Does it taste like
chicken? I thought we were going to say the pilgrims discovered the Indians, and that's not true.
No, they were talking to the Indians, and they were getting along with the Indians, and they got damn lucky that they found
some friendly
Squanto, who had actually been over to Europe and come back.
Yep. Should we be calling them Indians?
Yeah, Native.
I was saying that.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Or is it because we're talking about a specific time back when they referred to them as Indians, and we can call call them Indians.
Listen, I was born in 1969. Listen, you go on whatever. No.
No one knows where India is. I've been there four times. I'm not even 100%
sure. Native peoples. The Wampanoag tribe.
The indigenous people.
Yes, yeah. Native peoples.
Yeah.
The Massasoit and the Wampanoag tribe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have to believe, because we all hear about that first winter and how bad the first winter was, and they didn't have any food, and they didn't have any shelter, and,
they probably ate people that died.
I think they ate each other, pilgrims first?
That's what I'm saying. It's
like when people died, I bet they ate them.
Like, two-thirds of the population is gone the following spring.
Yeah.
I'm guessing sooner or later, Miles Standish is looking across, and he's like, John Smith looks kind of tasty.
Well, they couldn't bury them in the winter, right? The ground is frozen solid.
Yeah.
They made some burial mounds, is what I heard, but they probably ate them before.
They put out a warning. Yeah. They were like, "Don't eat the dumpster pilgrims."
Right. Yeah, do not eat the dumpster pilgrims. So I'm guessing the first Thanksgiving was really about celebrating the fact that, hey, we don't have to eat our friends anymore.
Going to do Thanksgiving down at Plymouth Plantation.
Yeah.
It's kind of a touristy thing, and but to be honest, being a history buff, and that's on my bucket list. Because I know people that have done it. I mean, you have to reserve way in advance.
Oh, to go there on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I know people that have done it, and they said it's actually really cool because it's authentic.
Other than the little group of Native Americans outside who are trying to
burn it down.
Can you
imagine a bunch of people from Southie? Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so awful how all those Indians get massacred.
Those people will be with me tomorrow.
At Kowloon? Oh, yeah.
So it is, historians generally believe that feast took place in October.
Right.
Not in November.
Because that's when the harvest is.
And Thanksgiving actually wasn't, they may have been observing a Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving was not a specific holiday. Thanksgiving, it was more of a religious thing. Mm-hmm. And a political thing, where whenever a major event took place, a governor or a king or a president could call a day of Thanksgiving when everybody would blow off work and eat a lot of food and just get nuts.
Mm-hmm. I'm down. That sounds great.
So during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was the one that actually got this sort of established as the Thursday in November.
As kind of like a, what's the term? Like a morale booster, sort of.
He called a national day of Thanksgiving as a way to lift the spirits of the American people in the midst of this horrible conflict. And then after the Civil War, the tradition continued in the North. Mm. In the South, they were like, you take your Yankee Thanksgiving and your turkey and your pie and get off of my land.
Well, wait, we'll keep the pie, but the rest of it can go.
You get off of my land. We're going to eat pecan pies. And actually, one of the governors, I forget which state it was in, I believe it was Mississippi, called a day of Thanksgiving because Abraham Lincoln was the one that finally codified it and said it's going to be the last Thursday in November.
The fourth Thursday in November.
Yeah. And the Southern governors, the former Confederate state governors, used to call Thanksgivings a week ahead of time so that they could do it but still stick their finger in the eye of the Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the governor of Mississippi had called a day of Thanksgiving a few years after the Civil War because no black people had been elected to the state legislature.
Wow.
That's gross.
That tells you, it tells you everything you need to know about.
You know what I want to say? I just want to say to the South, the North, we won the war against Thanksgiving. We did. We won that war.
That's right.
We did. You guys lost.
Yeah.
We spread it.
But I'm betting there's probably still some old Southern boy sitting around down there going, I ain't celebrating Thanksgiving with your Yankee turkey and your Yankee stuffing. And
I doubt it. I bet they love it, and people do their own thing.
Yeah.
And
they'll make it their own.
Maybe some more Southern type, Southern comfort foods along with our traditional Yankee.
Fried turkey, probably.
Fried, ooh.
The rich in the South.
Yeah.
Back in the plantation
days.
We're big into Thanksgiving because they didn't have to do any work.
Right.
Sure.
It was another way to
big into anything where I don't have to do anything.
Make somebody else cook dinner for you. In your case, the Chinese. So, progressive as you are, Marielle, in terms of your approach to Thanksgiving, you're no better than those Southerners.
You really should be going to a casino is what you should be.
I've always imagined myself on a plantation. No, I'm just kidding. That's not an okay thing to say.
On Tara.
So that's where it comes from. And to me, The coolest thing about Thanksgiving is even in this day and age where everything has been commercialized to some extent, nobody has really been able to co-opt this thing. And sort of be like, go get your Thanksgiving lights and get your Thanksgiving hats.
Derek, we have really Thanksgiving lights. I just got to say.
But here's the thing. It took me 10 years. Those
to
aren't really,
find those.
Those aren't really Thanksgiving lights. They're fall. They're autumn
orange.
Leaves with lights in them.
I'm talking about the turkeys on the window.
A lot of people on their own are taking the orange Halloween lights
and
putting them out as Thanksgiving lights.
I mean, even when you go in the store right after Halloween, you start seeing Christmas stuff almost immediately before. And I'm like, we still haven't gotten through Thanksgiving. Not that there's a whole lot of, like you said,
I got news for you. After July 4th, the Christmas stuff is out in a lot of these stores.
It's pretty bad.
Well, yeah, because they do Christmas
In July.
It's Christmas in July and Christmas in August
shopping,
and Christmas in...
I'm a home shopping QVC junkie. I don't buy anything. I watch it for entertainment.
Did you see Betsy DeVos last night?
She was on, which one?
She was on HSN.
No.
No kidding.
Wow.
Emily Ruskowski told me that. She was up late. She couldn't sleep.
Why was she on there?
She loves QVC.
Did she call in or she was on it?
Oh, she was watching it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. No. Emily was watching it.
Yes.
She loves QVC.
Yeah.
Sometimes she dabbles with HSN.
Yes.
And she was watching and she saw this makeup bag, like a travel, and she was like, this will solve all my needs, which is what she thinks about everything that she buys on. God bless Emily. And then she saw the model, and the model was Betsy DeVos because Betsy DeVos's daughter's company.
Of course.
And I want to remind everyone that Betsy DeVos's brother is Eric Prince of Blackwater, has nothing to do with that anecdote about HSN, but Emily got really upset and then she didn't buy the makeup bag.
Is this conflict makeup? Is that what you're
it's
suggesting?
Conflict makeup.
This is conflict makeup. This is Blackwater supported makeup.
That's crazy.
It's waterboarded
that
makeup.
She was on there. I'm really baffled by that.
Blackwater's
been on there.
Blackwater's just another name for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Okay.
We know this.
Okay. Well, then we know that.
Did you get a free school voucher with every makeup purchase?
You did. She actually just looked like a regular lady, and Emily took a screenshot, and I was, was like, look at this. And I was like, oh, it's not just a blonde lady.
Yeah.
It's Betsy DeVos.
That's crazy.
Who is also a blonde lady. I don't want to take
that away. I don't remember why
her.
I even brought this up. Oh, because they do Christmas in July. That's what it was.
Right, yeah.
It's astounding to me that members of the Trump administration have all of this time to go hawk products.
You know, there's always
it's not
time
astounding
to make a
to
few
me.
Bucks.
It's not astounding to me.
Dick Cheney at least was running things out of his office. He wasn't making on-camera appearances.
He was pulling the strings, Derek.
Yeah.
He
was like,
but he wasn't shilling on.
No.
He just said,
but it doesn't shock me at all that a member of the Trump administration.
He wasn't on QVC being like bulletproof vest blowout. Hi, I'm Dick Cheney, Vice President of the United States.
How are we even supposed to know where any of their financial investments are and where
that's
the money
true.
Is coming from? Because they don't disclose that.
You don't want the answer to that question. You know you don't want the answer to that question. Nobody wants the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Don't bring that
up
on Thanksgiving.
Well, the Paradise Papers gave us a little bit of insight, but sorry, am we getting too much into the news?
Yes, we're supposed to stay out of the news tonight.
Sorry.
Force a habit.
More fun stuff.
I will say, some things that are in the headlines right now are inevitably going to come up during the Black Friday segment of the show.
Yes.
Because... I found at least one wildly inappropriate toy for your child. It was never meant to be wildly inappropriate.
Should we buy it for our niece or nephew?
No. No.
Should we buy it for the new baby?
Once you hear what it is, you'll understand. But I just want to throw this out there. Yeah. There are a couple of wildly inappropriate gift choices that you can make this holiday season unintentionally. So we're going to keep you on your toes for those so that you don't buy somebody something and then they're like, oh.
What the heck is this?
Right.
That's all coming up after 7 o'clock tonight. Nice. We're still waiting on Winston. I'm not sure where Winston is hiding.
Mm-hmm. Winston, are you okay? Call us.
Yeah, Winston, where are you? We miss you.
What about you, Derek? What are your traditions? Well, Molly, you have traditions from your family. Is it the same?
We used to go to my aunt's house, my dad's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She used to live in Worcester, so we went to her house for years, but the coolest thing, I barely remember it anymore, unfortunately, but my aunt lives in LA, my mom's sister.
Yep.
And when I was five, we went out to have Thanksgiving with her.
Yep.
But the cool thing, we had Thanksgiving on the Queen Mary.
Oh.
Which is docked at Long Beach.
Yeah.
And at the time, which I think my parents said we went to see it, but I do not remember.
Way nicer than Kowloon.
The Spruce Goose, you know, Howard Hughes's, what was it, the Hercules? Used to be, I don't want to say docked. I don't know if that's the right term, but it used to be practically right next door to the Queen Mary. It's no longer there.
Hangered is the word.
Hangered, yes. Yeah. I don't really remember it, except my aunt claims that like a year later, I don't remember this, I said to her, oh, I wonder how so-and-so was, and he was the name of our waiter. On the Queen Mary, like the year before. I don't remember. Unfortunately, I don't. The only thing I remember is walking up the, you know, we're obviously all really dressed up, walking up the gangplank and just looking up and being like, oh, this is the biggest boat I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, we ate Thanksgiving on the Queen Mary.
Cool. Do you turn around and wave to the people back on land when you get to the top of that?
It's docked.
We're having dinner now. Goodbye.
You know it doesn't move.
Well, it turns out at the end of that story, the waiter was dead the whole time. But Queen Mary is a lot of ghost sightings.
Right?
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There are no waiters.
We also used to go to New York.
We haven't had people here, and this place hasn't been open in 40 years.
We used to go to New York and the weekend between Thanksgiving, the weekend right after. The downside to that is, I don't know if it's changed, but the tree hasn't been lit by that point yet at Rockefeller, because it's not lit till next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But we used to do the ice skating and, you know, the Rockettes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
My family was always very simple. Show up at the house at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, eat a turkey.
Yeah.
Argue about politics, call each other bad names, and everybody goes home.
I mean, that was more or less us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was, we do it simply. You have the turkey, you have the stuffing, which is the best part of the whole day.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, stuffing.
I know, really.
Mashed potatoes, butternut squash, the damned boiled onions that my dad liked. And I don't think the chocolate
cream pie.
Well, the chocolate cream pie from my sister's bakery was a newer addition to the whole thing.
I was going
to
say, what are the desserts like? Because your sister has a bakery.
Chocolate cream pie.
And that's the only dessert?
It is expected.
That's the only dessert pies. I acknowledge.
There will be problems.
There are no other desserts.
And at the bakery today when I was working there, one of the girls is like, because they were asking me something, and they're like, oh, Danette's already put the pie aside for you guys.
Yeah.
There will be problems. If there is, if she doesn't show up with this pie.
Chocolate cream pie.
It is so good.
Oh, my God.
It is the best.
Amazing.
Just pie crust with, chocolate pudding and then, mousse, chocolate shavings, whipped cream, chocolate shavings.
Is it a graham cracker crust?
Here's a fun thing. I actually don't really like chocolate that much.
All right.
What are you even doing here?
You're a heathen.
I know, right?
We've got one that doesn't like Thanksgiving and the other one doesn't like chocolate. I don't know how I wind up with these people.
Well, here's why I don't like Thanksgiving, if you want to hear what my family used to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was a kid, we would drive up to my grandparents' house in north eastern Pennsylvania. It'd be a 4.5-5-hour drive. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd go the day before Thanksgiving.
And there is nothing to see on that drive, by the way.
There isn't. We've done that drive before. There's nothing.
Not even trees. It's just like open rolling fields. Yeah. And my God, get me out of here.
Endless highway.
Outside of Scranton. Mm-hmm. And we would go there. And my mom has a big family. She was one of six or seven kids, all married, all have kids, and so it would be like 20 people at Thanksgiving. It was overwhelming. You couldn't even hear yourself think.
Yep.
And, you know, there was like a kids table and even an extended adults table, and it was a big deal to be elevated up to the adult table, and it was a big deal the year I got to eat a drumstick, and that was the year that everybody got food poisoning because grandma didn't make the turkey, but my aunt claims that it's not her fault because she didn't get sick, and it's like, of course you didn't get sick, but that's what happens. But this is how food poisoning works. Listen,
I've spent all year developing resistance to listeria so I can exact my revenge.
You leave one bacteria uncooked, it multiplies.
Right.
So all the people who went back for seconds, or me, the little kid who was still working on my drumstick, by the time you get to the end, it's covered with bacteria.
Yeah.
So half the people who didn't go back for seconds, the skinny ones,
were fine.
The rest of us were barfing.
Oh, man.
No.
But the nice thing we used to do is we would go to a craft fair the following day and at like a local church, and it was usually Christmassy themed, and it was not overwhelming, not commercial, and you know, you could buy from local craft makers.
Those are
and
cool.
Artists.
That's
we
cool.
We used to have one of those at my church growing up.
Yeah
they were fun.
They were great, and you could For me, it was like a little place to start getting my Christmas gifts, get something for my mom, you know, something like that.
Especially being a kid that doesn't have a lot of money, like going to those church fairs were awesome. That's where I did all my shopping growing up.
Yep. She got some ornaments made by some nice people in Pennsylvania there.
So other than the trichinosis, you have good Thanksgiving memories.
I do have good Thanksgiving memories. It was just a lot of stress and people would be stressed about getting the food on the table. It was probably. It was just 20, 25 people I never want to see more than one person at a time, ever. Too much.
My Christmases are like that on my dad's side. Yeah. There's like 35 of us, I think. Yeah. And so at this point, there's no more sit-down dinner because it was the same thing. We'd all cram into an apartment literally up the street. The table would start in the dining room, extend all the way into the living room, and then there'd be the kids' table. And nobody really ever graduated to the grown-up table because in order for that to happen, somebody would have to die.
Yeah, kind of thing.
So we kind of all just sort of became adults, and then it was just one big adult table. But at this point now, my cousin in Stoneham hosts right up the street from where you lived.
Oh, yeah.
And we do like buffet style, but it's food for days.
Nice.
And I put on my eating pants, and I go to town. It's all the seven fishes and the whole... my holiday for food.
I can tell you what the tradition is with my wife's family, because her dad hoards all the dark meat, and I don't get a drumstick.
You need to get a turkey that has like six drumsticks on it, my friend.
If they had Chernobyl turkey, I would be willing to risk the radioactive isotopes for the extra drumsticks.
Sure. I mean, don't...
But not a dumpster Chernobyl.
Not the dumpster turkey. No. I will eat the Chernobyl turkey, but not the dumpster turkey.
Yeah.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Winston Kidd is incoming and will be in the station with us right after this break here on WMFO Medford. Just as soon as I find the thing. Every single year.
I don't miss these times when you can't find what you want to play.
Every single year. It happens that I somehow screw up the segues into the music.
You know?
It's a Thanksgiving tradition.
Maybe next year will be your year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Needless to say, the luncheon there under the trees was a great success, and a good time was had by Puritans and Indian alike. Everything came off beautifully. With the exception of one minor catastrophe.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I...
And all of us had our mouths set for roast eagle with all the trimmings.
Yeah, well, I...
Did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they look so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cups. Already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Breeze blows leaves.
It's WMFO Medford 91.5. It is a Halloween, not Halloween. It is a Thanksgiving-een. See, now I'm getting everything mixed up. It is a Thanksgiving-een edition of Hear It Wow. I am Derek Gary, joined by Mariela Cabral, Daniela Capolino, and new and improved Winston Kidd is
Yo,
in the
ho,
house.
Ho.
Welcome,
Hello.
Winston. Good to see you. How have you been?
I have been good, hanging in there, you know.
We've fighting
a good fight.
Very, very nice. And thank you for being here. We don't have Chris Earle, but we do have Winston, who is another part of our Thanksgiving tradition. We are passing around the traditional Trader Joe's turkey and stuffing kettle chips.
Nice.
They're not bad. What's good about them is they're actually quite mild in flavor.
Yes.
So they don't assault your senses like some chips will do.
These are one of my favorite things that come out every Thanksgiving.
I didn't even know they even existed.
Oh, yeah. I saw them in the ad years ago, and I was like, I have to try this.
Yeah.
And I've been buying a bag of them every year.
One of these people that buys these crazy potato chip flavors that Lay's puts out all these different...
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are on board with that.
We go through them.
Do you do that too, you guys? Are you into them?
We go through them every year. Yeah. Swing mic 3 over in Mariel's direction.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And because Winston comes in and immediately gets greedy and just grabs the microphone. Like, this is mine.
I wasn't sure if Molly was coming back.
Yeah, Molly's having a bite.
Yeah, she'll be back, but...
No, I wasn't trying to be greedy, but when I was talking, I just...
Absolutely.
Yes. No, so you keep that one and we'll make people over here share because women are better at sharing than men are. Isn't this true?
I don't know. I'm not a great sharer.
At least when it comes to the dark meat.
I'm not a great sharer.
My first
I was
word
burnt.
Was share, actually, but I think I spelled it C-H-E-R.
So. At least when it comes to the dark meat at Molly's family's house.
I got burned as a kid too many times sharing toys with people that broke them, so I didn't become quite a good sharer. Growing up, I was like, no, I don't really trust you.
Absolutely.
So, Winston, we've been through everybody else's Thanksgiving plans. What's tomorrow going to be doing for you? Where do you find yourself?
Tomorrow is very low-key. My kids are with their mom in Phoenix. I'm doing a whole heap and helping of nothing.
Nice.
Nice.
I'm going to, you know, thinking about it, actually thinking about it on the way here, I'm probably going to go order some Chinese food.
You should.
Mariel's going to the Kowloon.
Go join Mariel at Kowloon
and just kind of hang out. And
yeah.
You want an extra seat. We can welcome you to our table.
Table for six, you can do it. It's not going to put them out.
You're also welcome to come over to my place if you want to because we're cooking a turkey. My sister and brother are going to be there. Sarah Barsh is going to be there. And if you feel like coming by, come by.
Where's the Pincus?
He is in
Jersey?
New York or Jersey.
Yeah.
And Sarah's working Friday morning.
Okay.
So she got stuck
here.
Yeah.
And
he loves her so much that he went to New Jersey.
Yeah, well, his family is all there. And it's you know. Yeah, ladies, you know how we are.
I don't know. Do I? Because I haven't dated in 4 years. So
Mariel, I think that's a good move. I'm pretty much against all of that.
What, the dating?
You know,
Yeah.
If I know Sarah, she might have wanted to stay with the dog anyway.
She probably wants 48 hours of peace and quiet and is probably looking forward to 48 hours of peace and quiet. So, So... Turkey, yes. I assume you're a turkey guy.
I love turkey.
Yeah, turkeys. We've had some negative things said about turkey here, which...
Who blasphemed?
Well, Daniela is the Wall Street Journal capon expert, so... or is quoted in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, I got interviewed the other day by a woman who's writing a fluff piece for... She's a financial reporter, but she found my Twitter. I'd written something about having capon 1 year for Thanksgiving, so she reached out... Interviewed me as well as a bunch of other people about having capon instead of Thanksgiving, you know, turkey on Thanksgiving.
What is capon?
It's a castrated rooster.
Oh,
I like that beat of silence. It's basically because a hen won't grow, you know, bigger. So
and that makes the turkey bigger.
Yeah, that
makes it bigger.
That moment of silence was like I've my uncle had a chicken farm.
Yeah,
a small one. And I don't ever remember seeing the genitalia on a rooster, so it's like...
I don't know. I mean, my brother has roosters. I don't know that I've ever seen his bits, we'll say, either. But Giblets?
Yeah, it's giblets.
I'm sure it's like a cat. If you know where to look, you can find them. Yeah. You know?
You got to go into the feathers. It's behind the cloaca. Yeah. And then you're probably doing something very inappropriate with the bird.
And by the way, the rooster is not sitting there calmly while
and
this is
going on. And
then
you're Harvey
either.
Weinstein.
Yes, exactly. Just what was Colonel Sanders doing down on the poultry farm? We answered this question.
Yeah.
Frank Perdue, that guy always creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. I liked him. I thought his son was a little creepy because he was just like him.
I liked Frank, the son.
One of the best stories that I heard when I was at Boston University, I knew a girl who was part of the Tyson family. Mm-hmm. So you know Tyson chicken.
Yeah.
And she and her mother were down on an island somewhere driving around, and her mother nearly hits somebody in a crosswalk. And, like, slams on the brakes at the last minute and avoids him. It was Frank Perdue.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you could just imagine.
What are the odds?
What would have happened if a Tyson took out Frank Perdue?
Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. A whole like, scandal. McCoy.
Yeah, it would have been a meltdown in the poultry industry. It would still be recovering from today.
Right? Okay. It's so funny. You know? Is this like Claire McCaskill's Senate opponent almost tried to run her over?
Yeah, exactly.
The other day.
So, oh God. Light meat or dark meat with the turkey? This is a critical.
If we're talking turkey?
Yeah.
Probably dark.
Light.
Yeah, we know that Molly has an aversion to dark meat.
You know, it depends. Like if it's juicy white meat, it's good.
Yeah,
but I guess it depends on how the turkey is made. But I enjoy both. I will say that.
Winston,
Well, I gotta say that it's definitely I'm a dark meat guy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, again, if it's juicy, the white meat's.
I'm on board with that as well. Yeah,
but in general, I like the dark meat.
There's just all that flavor in the dark meat that the white meat just doesn't have.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's like this is weird. I don't want to make a sexist generalization here, although I'm about to. But as a rule of thumb, I've found that guys are into the dark meat and women are into the white meat.
Whoa, racist too. That sounded
no,
that's
I'm
not true. In our,
no,
Derek, not. That's not true in our family.
No,
because your sister likes dark meat, doesn't she?
Yeah, because my sister is.
I'm the only one I think that likes light meat.
But I think if you go back and you look at the genesis of that, it's that in the fact that the white meat. It's lower in calories and lower in fat.
It's leaner, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it might just be that the men will fight for the dark meat more, and the women are like, I'm too tired
for
cooking all day to fight with you.
Besides, you're going to go for the stuffing, which is the best part anyway.
The other thing could be at play here is I know a lot of, primarily women, some men, that have a strong aversion to eating meat on a bone.
Hmm.
Drumstick and a thigh, you really can't separate. You can't really carve those pieces. You got to get that whole piece.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where a breast, you're cutting it off and then slicing it. So that could be it.
See,
contributing. I've never met more people in my adult life that don't like meat on a bone. I'm like, are you insane?
I think that's part of the attraction to men because I think there's this primal thing that it's like you see the leg there and you're like, I must rip this off and eat it because it is food and I am man.
And it's shaped like a club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just that's the and it's primal and it's not that far beneath the surface, to be honest. It's like right there.
It's, you look at it, you're like, ah, delicious. Yeah. I maintain if you want to raise a child to be a dark meat
and
fan,
you shouldn't. No, I'm just
when they're young, just hand them that drumstick and they'll, you know.
Yeah.
Because I remember growing up, I got the drumstick and the thing was as big as my head because I had a very small head at that point in time.
Wait a minute. You and my dad. You know, the whole thing with the dark meat, maybe that's why I don't like dark meat, is because he hogged all of it when I was a kid.
Yeah, see?
So maybe that's why I'm not, into it. I don't know.
And it's like,
but that could be it.
The alpha male in the family does get first pick of the dark
meat.
Well,
he was the only guy. You know, me, my mom, and my sister. Yeah. So it's, you know.
And to be fair, he's shut my brother-in-law out on the dark meat, too. It's not like Amy's husband is getting dark meat and I'm not. Nobody's getting any dark meat. He's getting the drumsticks. And I'm like, the whole reason I'm here is for the drumstick.
Right. That's the only reason.
It's the best part of the turkey.
But you're hosting tomorrow, so you're set.
Yeah.
There'll be no drumsticks for anybody except
Definitely
Derek.
Definitely getting a drumstick.
Yeah.
So it's either
not.
You know,
Steve might fight you for a drumstick.
No, he can have one if he wants one. I don't know if he's even allowed to eat those anymore. This is the other thing. As you get older, your doctor's like, you're not going to eat that drumstick, are you? And it's like, hell yes, I am.
It's not worth living.
And if I...
Next thing you know, you'll tell me I can't have bacon.
Yeah, and if I die, I'll die happy.
With a drumstick in one hand and ball of stuffing in the other.
Precisely. That's the way it goes.
Bacon tops, baked potato... on the plate in front of me.
Side dishes, we got any favorite? I mean, it's...
Stuffing, I think, is probably stuffing. Unanimous.
Well, I mean, we know that, this, yeah. But this, let's set aside the stuffing.
Where do you guys stand on Brussels sprouts? Because I know that's a very...
I like them.
No. Yeah. Roasted Brussels sprouts are delicious.
Yeah. They, with or without bacon? Are you? Like,
oh, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, yeah, either way. Yeah. Delicious. Yeah. I was always partial to the cranberry jelly from a can.
Yes!
Absolutely.
That we will actually, my mom will make, like, or my brother will make, like, a cranberry chutney type thing.
My mom used to, too.
But we'll always still have that can on the table.
No one would eat it except for my mom. Yeah. She would make it for herself.
I forgot to buy the can of cranberry dressing.
Well, look who's going to the store on the way home.
You're kidding me.
No.
Hopefully Wegmans is open.
Yeah, something's open.
I think
Molly's like, get those divorce papers ready.
I think the Stop and Shop over in Somerville is open until, like, midnight or something. I can go get it there.
This is a direct quote. What do you need me to get when I go to the store? I'll take care of it, he said.
Do you know how many trips I've made to the supermarket
this
week?
You have made a lot. You have made a lot.
So, because this is our first time ever hosting Thanksgiving, okay?
Okay, so there's bound to be some screw-ups.
Let me give you a brief rundown of what I've had to purchase over the last couple of days. Tablecloth, placemats, napkins.
Oh, my God. How horrible for you.
Because we didn't have any of this in the house, all right? So
when's the telethon?
So all the table linens, the turkey. I had to go get the turkey, stuffing, everything to make the stuffing.
Dumpster turkey.
Yeah, I got the dumpster turkey.
No, before I forget to ask you for the third time, it's been in my head. Are you a fresh turkey or frozen turkey?
Fresh.
Well, let me just say that the I think it's the Star Market or the Shaw's over in Porter Square is open 24/7.
Yeah.
So I hopefully they have a few cans of a cranberry jelly.
Stuffing, wine, more wine, still more wine, beer.
Yeah, well, it's Thanksgiving.
Everything to make dip.
Ooh. What kind of dip do you make?
A French onion. I get a secret recipe for the French onion.
Okay, here's the thing in my family that we would do when we would go to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing in my family. I've never heard of anyone doing it. But you know, in the 60s, everybody loved anything that was just like mostly cream cheese. That's how dips were made. So my family, we would make, we make clam dip.
Yep.
Clams, Worcestershire sauce, oysters, certain seasonings. There's a whole big fight in my family. Do you put a dollop of mayonnaise in to make the cream cheese more spreadable? Uh-huh. Is that disgusting? Is that blasphemy? And it's like a specific brand of oysters, and you want clams, and you want the clam juice and all that, and you need the right chips for the dip because it's so thick, and of course Philadelphia cream cheese.
If you're mixing oysters with cream cheese, I think mayonnaise is the least of your concerns.
I
say why not at that point.
Everything is. It's just, it's very important to let it sit overnight. You want to make it at least 24 hours. No, I mean, obviously in the fridge, because you can't just have clams.
Yeah, because the flavors have to kind of meld.
But it's a huge thing in my family. I've never heard of anyone else making something like that.
I can remember back in, I remember seeing this as recently as the 1980s. Clamato. A lot of people remember Clamato.
Yeah, right. Sure.
But you also used to be able to buy clam dip, pre-made clam dip at the supermarket.
Yeah. Is this a New England thing?
It might be.
Because my great-grandmother was from here, and that's what she would do. And she was so New England and so provincial, like a lot of New Englanders are, that when my grandparents moved to northeastern Pennsylvania, she referred to her daughter as the one who moved out west.
Yeah. You get a lot of that as part of the country.
Not joking.
Yeah. That's not how you make clam dip. That's not how you make clam dip. What's wrong with you?
I have to ask, though. Yes. Is it... Because it seems very specific, so I'm assuming when you add the dollop of mayonnaise, it has to be mayonnaise and not Miracle Whip.
Oh, you know, so I actually don't make it with the mayonnaise. There is a divide in our family. It's like the Protestants and the Catholics. Even though we're all Catholic, we do you do the dollop of mayonnaise or not? And do you put the Worcestershire sauce in or not? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if any of my relatives are listening, and they're surely not, I have upset at least one of them.
Someone is not getting invited to a wedding during this dispute.
Yeah, I would say my grandmother would be rolling over in her grave if she hadn't been cremated, but it's a very important part of any family gathering.
She's swirling around in her urn, then.
Yeah, she's blowing in the wind.
Blowing in the wind.
But it was a very important part of any Thanksgiving or any family gathering on that side of the family.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Here at WOW. Derek Gary, Winston Kidd, Mariel Cabral, Molly Gary, and Daniela Capolino with you until 9 o'clock tonight, when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. You want a perfect night before Thanksgiving? Rip the radio knob off. Leave it tuned to WMFO. Run outside. Tell the neighbors, hey, it's 91.5, and I'm here all night. Tune your radio in, too. When we come back, Black Friday.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
Our annual salute to American holiday consumerism. But before we get there, of course, as we've heard tonight, homemade meal, turkey, these are not your only Thanksgiving options. There are a lot of places where you can go to get something on Thanksgiving. This is probably the last place that you're going to go for Thanksgiving, but there's a good chance that you're going to be eating there before the holiday season is over. So let's take a little trip back in time to one of my very favorite promotional records of all time as we celebrate the launch of a new commercial jingle.
You've just heard something that nobody outside of McDonald's has ever heard. The music to a brand new McDonald's song. That's right. On May 7, 1979, McDonald's will be introducing a new song and a new advertising campaign to the country. And because the strength of this new campaign is you, our crew, we wanted you to know about it and to hear it before anyone else does. After all, you're the reason that nobody can do it like McDonald's can. Nobody can do it like McDonald's can. That's a strong statement, but one that's believable. And the best evidence of that is your dedication to QSC&V. Quality, service, cleanliness, and value. Things that have kept people coming back to America's favorite restaurant for almost 25 years. And no one appreciates you more than Ray Kroc, founder and senior chairman of the board of McDonald's. Here he is with a special message just for you.
As you probably know by now, we've got a new theme. Nobody can do it like McDonald's can. Now, we all know that, but we want to let the customers know it, too. A friendly smile from you goes a long way. Without you as the liaison between McDonald's Corporation and the customer, we're dead. You're one of the most important people in the whole corporation, and nobody appreciates that fact more than I do. God bless.